Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness with my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening.
And hopefully all of you have survived tonight the lifting of shame. What are people experiencing as a result?
Boy, quite a bit, I'm sure. I'm not ashamed to be here.
We made it.
Yeah.
That's all I know is we made it.
Yeah. What are you experiencing, Jackie?
Well, interestingly enough, I was in channel during the show last week, so I can only tell you what I experienced before and after. And before the show, I go into a process where I'm blending with everyone that's going to be listening. And what was so amazing is that they showed me everyone that was listening last week, and then all the people that would eventually hear the program, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until I could see nothing but masses of people.
Wonderful.
And I thought, wow, okay, it's been worth it.
You bet it's been worth it.
Yeah. And then after the show, interestingly enough, as soon as I came back out of channel, hung up the phone, I started having absolute screaming pains in my liver and my pancreas, as literally I could see grids lifting out of my pancreas and liver. All this shame lifting out, and it was painful. And it took, let's see, it's been a week. It took a week for it to fully lift out.
Hmm.
And, I'm still dealing with the kidney. You know, it's getting better and better, and the adrenals. And I, want to talk to people about the adrenals, but I'll get there in a minute. I want to just kind of do a talk real quick here about the shows, and for people who haven't listened to all of them, I'm sure we have people, listening tonight that haven't listened to all the shows. What you're going to hear, and if you go back to February 1st, which was the first show, Sex and Shame, and some of these shows, people, are going to be hard for you to listen to. Some of them were very emotional. Some of them were very clinical to the point of boredom. And I have to take full responsibility for that because, for those that don't know, I got totally blown out on the second show, which was Sex, Shame, and Religion. And I had major physical problems.
But when you say blown out, I think a lot of people probably don't understand quite what that means.
Okay. I was processing my own shame through all of this process.
And would that say that you had extra shame focused in that part of your body, in your kidney?
Yes, that's where I tend to carry a group agreement with all of you, and I also carried a lot of sorrow and shame, and also other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
All tend to sit in my left kidney, which has been an ongoing issue most of my life.
Hmm.
And
then each of us has our propensities, right?
You all, absolutely. Everyone is going to have those sensitive areas where it's going to show up more than others. Now, one that I'm seeing that's, anyway, let's get back to the shows for a minute, and then we'll get on to that. Veronica and I were talking earlier about the show on family shame, which may have been boring to some people because when I did it was very clinical.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually, I don't usually use the word afraid, but I was a little afraid of going into emotion again to where I was so not okay at that point physically that I couldn't risk, going into my own emotional body and really bringing it forward that way. But the shows were designed, and I won't say by me, I'll say by us, that because I am a participant, I can never really separate myself totally out of this.
No, we know because you gave them a list last week. They were laughing about that.
That's my control issue. I was so worried something would be missed. They're very funny.
Yeah.
At any rate, for those that weren't listening last week, I always, an hour before the show, the information just pours out of me. And so it's routine for me. I got on the computer, and I started making a list of all the places that Shane was. I didn't want them to miss anything. And I guess they thought that was pretty funny.
They probably have a great perspective and don't quite need that, but they used it. They were very faithful.
Yes, I know. Well, hey, listen, I figured, you know, this has been a lot of work. I'm not going to let anybody screw it up. I don't care how big you are. At any rate, the shows are really designed, all of them. And for those of you who haven't listened to all of them, please do. The purpose of that was to be able to identify all the places that we carry shame. And there are places that you don't think about. They are, it comes at us from every level and direction. And this is an opportunity for all of us to finally have freedom to really step into who we are and to be able to forgive ourselves and love ourselves and do all the things that we've really wanted to do, and certainly to move into a bigger arena and into our great work. And if we're loaded with shame, we, A, don't think that we can, that we deserve it, that we're worthy of it. You know, fear of being exposed, you know, that program that so many of us run, which is staying under the radar and not being out in the public, that's a big issue for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ronnie, what kind of stuff are you seeing, and what did you experience and some of your people experience?
Well, it's funny, I told you earlier we had just arrived at a hotel and had driven a humongous truck up from California when we did the show last week. And after the show, I felt like I could fly. I felt like I had air in my ear, in my ear. And it was really a wonderful feeling. And even the next day, I felt like I could fly. However, what happened after that wasn't quite as even, because I would hit these pockets of deep frustration or shame, or it was never obviously shame, but I attracted to myself some challenges with people. And I met it with a personal power that was, it's almost like my personal power was challenged. That's where I used to hold a lot of my shame, at least some of it. And I kept being challenged in certain levels, have been all week. And I found that it was wonderful in a way, because I've been responding kindly and really stalwart, very powerful. And other times I would just be gripped by the old shame, but it seems to just move on through. And I talked to a number of people who said that they had experienced quite a bit of drama afterwards.
Yes.
And that was the interpretation, is like, you got it in your body, but some of us got it in our personality or our, you know, our finances or something. But it was more like a reflections of stuff that was still hidden in us, still the reactions that are still there, but they kind of pop up to be dealt with. So I talked to several people who are really working through some stuff as a result.
Well, one of my dear friends and clients who is a mother, and that's just, if you're a mother, you have shame, because there's no mother out there that thinks they've been the perfect mother.
Mm-hmm.
And all of her children went into total chaos. You know, they were telling her she was a terrible mother and this and that. And, of course, she's not, okay? But it was, again, an opportunity for her to deal with it without the shame, and yet still process through it. So it was kind of, our higher selves are playing a huge role in this. And this is where I'm seeing the interplay, which I think is so magnificent, that we are part of a huge orchestration right now. There's so much love for everybody that's listening right now for your courage to go through this. And believe me, I think you're all wonderful. Because there'll be lots of people, because of what you have all done, that can come along now and listen to these shows and go through the process at their own timing, whatever that may be, and walk through it more easily, more elegantly, without having to, you know, no offense, suffer like we all do. I don't want to sound like a martyr here, but this was, I mean, we pushed a huge boulder up a hill, and we did it as a group.
Yeah, the wave. I just want to say something also about my own daughter, who went through huge challenges all week, and she manifested power and stability over and over again. And I feel like just like what you're saying, I think that was part of the whole effect, even though she hadn't seen the show.
Exactly.
Of the vibrational shift in her own mother, you know.
Exactly. There is no way that those around us are not going to be impacted by what we've done here. And, you know, it may show up with, I talked to someone who had been going through all of this, and they called mom and dad, and mom and dad, they had done some other process, and mom and dad had both gotten sick. And it was some healing techniques that they had during the session. So, you know, they were told to go in and do some stuff meditatively that is very powerful during the session. And when they called mom and dad afterwards, both mom and dad got violently ill as a result of being
sick. Right. Well, this is not to be encouraged, is it?
No, but again, these are, as we're separating out some of these contracts and some of this, again, shame, because it was all about shame for her. I also want to talk, and we had a giggle earlier tonight about, and only you would mention this, Veronica, about feeling taller.
Well, because I know Jackie is not exactly the Empire State Building.
No,
so.
Absolutely not. And what's so funny is I've had two different situations, this is how psychic you are, where I was standing in front of the mirror thinking, oh my God, I'm so tall, looking down at the counter. And then I was in the shower this morning thinking, oh my God, I feel tall. And then I turned around to look at the faucet, you know, the faucet, and realized that I wasn't as tall as I thought. But I keep feeling so tall. And for me, the most exciting part is Saturday morning, I woke up and I was whistling and humming and singing, and I accomplished so much over the weekend, more than I've accomplished in 3 years.
Wonderful.
And I thought, wow. And I went out and everything looked more beautiful and brighter and alive. I called one of my girlfriends and I said, I can't believe how wonderful everything looks to me. It just feels so clean and beautiful and bright. And I was able to go out, you know, every evening over the weekend, things that I'm not normally able to do because of the energies and so on. It just was a thrill. And I realized what this huge lifting, and you know, and I want all of you to know, I feel very connected to everyone that's listening. Mm-hmm. We're not doing this alone. And Ronnie, you know that as well as I do.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah, that we're all interconnected. We're interconnected anyway. But when you take on something like this and you say, okay, I'm going to dig in, I'm committed to lifting and healing something that is so unattractive,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to walk through it, deal with whatever comes at me. And it is a real, it's kind of like having gone to war together. You know, it's like feeling like you're war buddies.
It really is a conscious evolution. It's amazing. It's a privilege.
It is. And you have to all feel good about yourselves, wonderful about yourselves, that you've done this. Physical symptoms, and I really want to talk about this because what I've seen in every session I've done since the sacred dispensation is that we've had to go in and really readjust everybody's body, all the organs, everything, to bring them back into a different frequency. This really had a huge impact on our physicality, and it is going to get better, people, I promise you. Now, adrenals are still going to be challenged because for whatever reason the adrenals took a big hit with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've seen so far, just, you know, in the 4 days of sessions I've done.
Wouldn't the thicker densities of shame, wouldn't that be kind of like a buffer on some of the organs, and so we've moved it away? Or?
Well, it's not only that, but as the shame, because when we experience shame, it's going to anchor into different parts of the body for different reasons. It just depends on how we took it in. And because we know that all the organs have different metaphysical, you know, and emotional meanings. You know, I always recommend Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is just the best little book going. Because if there's something bothering you, you can flip through, look at it, and go, even down to fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of digestive stuff. and know that it will get better. I mean, my digestion is still off, and just know that it will get better. You know, you may want to do a little bit of a colon cleanse or something, and then, you know, not right away. Wait a couple of weeks. Let things settle down. But you may be having some digestive stuff, and just know that it's part of all of this. This is when you lift this kind of emotion out of a human body this way. This is big stuff. You know, you may be getting little aches and pains, the knees, the elbows. You know, it'll be fleeting. It'll come and it's gone. Come and it's gone. I've never had pains in my liver and pancreas. I thought it was fascinating. I just sat on the couch and kind of leaned back and watched the stuff lifting out of my liver and pancreas. And I just thought, well, how cool is that? And then I would go, ow.
Did you get a video?
Huh?
Did you get a video?
No, I'm sorry. I have no one to film me. And Millie's too short to hold a camera. Thank God. I did want to share a couple of emails that people sent in. Wait a minute. I want to go back and address something you said, Veronica, because I think it's so powerful. First of all, your feeling of feeling like you could fly. That is really a powerful metaphor. And, you know, bless you for going there, because it's really... It's very big, and I want to go further with this one, and it's true. What you're feeling is not only that you can fly, but that all your lifetimes are feeling this.
Wow.
And I want to remind people that all of our lifetimes, every one of them, have been going through this process with us and through us, because they can't do it with... In other words, you've set the intention. You're driving... Excuse the metaphor for you, Veronica, the truck. Or the car. Or the spaceship.
Well, a big, heavy truck is a good metaphor under these.
Yes, it is. And so they're counting on what you're doing. And when the word went out that you were all willing to do this, they came in with such gratitude, such excitement. And, you know, I was talking with someone else tonight, and I thought this was very profound, because it's what you're all going to start experiencing, so I'll prepare you, is all of a sudden having a feeling that you can do something and having no reason or background for knowing how to do it. And it is going to free up some of these gifts, because, again, your other lifetimes now are able to integrate more into you than they ever have before. So you're going to be accessing some of these gifts. And so, again, you'll have these feelings like, I think I can do that. And the reason and logic and the negative ego both will come in and say, are you high? There's no way you could do that. You don't know anything about that. Don't negate it. Explore it. Stay open without judgment. Because these gifts now can start coming through. Now, you may have some hits and misses here. And you may have some continued days where things will get dark for 15 minutes, half an hour.
I've had that.
Yes, and then start to lift back out again. Now, you know, I'm a great observer. I participate and then I observe, participate and observe. And what I'm seeing, and I monitor kind of myself all day, you know, how am I feeling, how is this feeling? And the highs are far exceed any of the lows. But you may have moments of lows. Don't get discouraged or disheartened. Again, it's just the continual lifting of all of this stuff.
And sometimes it really evokes old reactions to come up out of your system. And that can eclipse what your freedom has become. And that just moves on through, doesn't it? Like,
yes,
bubble.
Good point, Veronica. Excellent point. And again, you know, I know they mentioned it during the channeling, which was the trap. Okay, of you inflicting shame on you. And that's the one that you have to monitor, because you're breaking a habit. You are breaking a very long-term habit of self-judgment and of inflicting shame on yourself.
Right.
And that's the one that can trip you up. you know, this is not the time to be loading yourself back up with shame.
Right.
Find another way to talk to yourself.
But at least you can recognize it.
Yes, and you'll definitely recognize it when it comes at you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-brainer right now. If somebody tries to shame you, it will take more, not more than a minute for you to get, wait a minute, not taking that on. But the self-talk, because it's so quick, and I have a wonderful friend and compatriot, I guess is a great description of this person, and a great channel and healer and so on in her own right, believe me. And she was talking about how she would have these fleeting moments of these thoughts that would come in, because her issue happens to be around her body, of something horrible going on with her body. She'd have a pain or something, and thinking, immediately envisioning herself in a hospital, you know, with some catastrophic problem. And it comes in so quick that you don't have time to deflect it. And that's where you get to make the choice right then and there. To move it to a whole different place. Move it to a whole different place. It is now really becoming a choice of, are we going to go to the fear? Okay? Are we going to really be where we need to be with it and take it all back to neutrality, because all experience is neutral. We get to put the spin on it. We get to decide that no matter how it looks, okay, we get to benefit from it if that's what we choose. But we have to stay there with it. You can't vacillate all over the place. You have to constantly bring your thoughts right back to that center. So this is a lot of personal monitoring right now. And you're in practice, and the lifting will continue. And I mean, every night I go to bed, more lifting. I'm very conscious of it, because I realize that it's an ongoing process. Now, somebody asked, and I was in channel, right? I don't remember who it was now, how long would it take to lift chains? And the answer that they got is that it could take up to 2 years, and they were upset about that.
Take up to what?
2 years.
Hmm.
And now, that is not an absolute. And the reason they gave that timeline, and I think this is fascinating, if they said you're going to be totally shame-free in a week, and you didn't feel shame-free, where would you go to?
Mm-hmm.
Shame. You would think that you failed, that somehow you were so flawed that you didn't get to benefit when everybody else did. That, again, another trap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That, you know, failure, that I wasn't enough, I got left behind. These are all really major traps. Now, I asked them, you know, what does this 2 years mean? And they said, look, we want you to look at, because there really is no time, but at all of the your lifetimes that are being impacted by this experience. And tonight we did a session with someone, and it was beautiful. I get to travel, so I get to see these things. And that's part of my agreement. And they took someone way out to the edge of the universe. And then they had all of their lifetimes light up in a color, like a blue-green color, on all of these various planets and levels and dimensions. And then they pulled all those lifetimes in around them. It was really quite stunning.
Wow.
And first to feel, as I you know, again, it was kind of spacey for me because I was in channel, but it was something about feeling the gratitude from all of those lifetimes. And understanding, and when you look at it from the bigger perspective, how big this really is, then you didn't get lost in the how soon will it happen. You know, you've got to see the bigger picture of how beautiful and wonderful and powerful this is, and what this person got to see what they were really doing here.
Hmm.
And the impact that it was having on all lifetimes. And I just, it was stunningly beautiful. Stunningly beautiful. So the 2 years could be, okay, for a lifetime that is being experienced, because all things are right now, in a very difficult lifetime, you know, on a planet that's imploding on a... It could be any number of things. In other words, and it's a variable for every single person. What they don't want is anybody getting so hooked up into timing that they go to, there's something wrong with me.
Right.
And so allowing it to be an ongoing process because you're retraining yourself. We all are. I, not just you, me too.
Well, there's something wrong with me is just a shaming thing anyway. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is where we go.
Right.
And the one about being left behind, that's deep within a lot of us. That's cellular on the planet.
Right.
We've all had lifetimes where we felt we got left behind, whether it's on this planet or someplace else.
Plus, we haven't come from a win-win society, and we're trying to move into one. You know.
Can you say new map?
You betcha. And the other thing that is always remarkable to me is that things like, for example, the release of shame, shame itself or the release of shame are contagious, right? So we're passing them on. We need to do it with, we radiate these out, and then they go through everybody, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think the visualization for me is think of yourself every day carrying a machete as you cut, swath this path, literally, this brand new path that's shame-free. And how amazing it is. I mean, to me, I smell the cut of the foliage and everything. Not that I like to kill anything, but it is just this sensing of every day is brand new, more than it's ever been before, because we are literally swathing this new path, making this map for ourselves, for other lifetimes, and for others to follow in a whole new way.
Very exciting.
I think it's thrilling, personally. And I'm just going to share with you a couple of, because these were so lovely from people. And, okay. I listened to the February 8th show last night. Your story as a child and about the other incarcerated children was gripping. I've known about my French witch trial and burning, but when you described the stripping of being publicly displayed, I froze. No wonder I will not allow myself out in any visible public way. I have tremendous fear of that type of visibility. I've traded any amount of success or acknowledgement in order to stay out of the limelight. And it helped me to understand that when I had to evacuate alone with my five cats during 9/11, my focus was so obsessively on protecting my cats. I'm sure I couldn't protect them during those witch burning times. 9/11 brought a lot of fear of the patriarchy and grief forward for me. This one really hit me.
Yeah, really.
And, you know, this is back to the visibility thing. And when she says here, I have traded any amount of success or acknowledgement in order to stay out of the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
That fear of and this is when, during that particular show, about those that were tortured during the burning years in Europe, that they were stripped and then publicly displayed.
And you said there were hundreds of thousands.
There was 5 million.
Jeez.
5 million.
Over what period of time?
15, 16, some 300 years.
Hmm.
And there weren't that many people on the planet at that time, Veronica, so that's a lot.
It was a pretty thorough burning.
Yes. Mm. Okay.
I think I was in that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we carry it at a cellular level. Here again, whether we were there or not, we carry it.
We know it. Mm-hmm.
Another comment, and I thought this was very interesting. This was someone who has hybrid children. Do I feel shame that I wasn't physically there to raise my children in this lifetime 100%? I don't know, but probably some. Now, that's I thought that was a very, very insightful comment from this person. And I wouldn't, you know, I don't know how many of you, you know, have had the experience of having hybrid children. This has certainly come up in some of the sessions I've done with people. Um,
hybrid children is partially is where your egg is being fertilized by someone we would call extraterrestrial.
Right. This is where they actually take your egg. They fertilize it with an extraterrestrial.
And they don't live on this planet. Do they ever live on the planet?
No.
Okay.
No. Now, in the future, will they be on the planet? Yes. Okay. I can't give you that future date, but I can say that in our lifetime, there is a potential for those children, some of them, to be here when we go into full interaction.
When we go into what?
Full interaction.
Hmm. Honey, I get a feeling there's quite a few here already.
Well, we're all hybrid to some degree.
Okay.
Okay, I'm a hybrid. But when we're talking about the hybrids that we're talking now, these are a little different. These are ones that are actually taken from a human mother and not living on
So the mother wouldn't even know, actually, because of the unconsciousness in the abduction process.
That's right. Right. And some people, you know, during some of the sessions that I've done, they have, you know, taken people to the experience to see if in fact they have. I never know when this is going to happen. And when they take someone to a place, it's so quick, and immediately that person is there. They feel the children, identify them, they know, and it comes right out of the subconscious. To watch that evolve is just amazing.
Wow, I'd like to see that.
But in, you know, in answer to your comment, Veronica, yes, there's a ton of hybrids on the planet right now, but hybrided in a different way. Literally, adjustments were made during the term of pregnancy so that there is extraterrestrial DNA.
Hmm.
So you're right in your comment.
Hmm.
Okay? They're a little bit different between the two situations, but you're absolutely right. And
but if you have a hybrid child, if someone has taken your egg and fertilized it, and that child does not live on the planet, then we still have that kind of mother grief for a spirit.
Absolutely. And just for those that are, you know, I don't want to get too far off the subject, but you're absolutely, since this is up on the table, we better go there.
That's pretty interesting, yeah.
Okay. People who have had hybrid children are always taken back to connect with them. All right. A hybrid child, because they have, they're part human, they need the bonding. They need that human bonding. Remember, as a race, we love so deeply. It is so different. And so they're breeding in the emotionality with their huge intellect. Okay. So they need that bonding with the human mother or the human father. And so they are always taken back to visit the child. Always. And, you know, over what period of time, I can't always answer. Now, I had one particular person who was aware of their children and, you know, that they had been with them and so on. But this is not unusual. There are many, many, many cases of this. Many cases.
Hmm.
But yes, there is always that sensing of having, I have a girlfriend who actually had, I think there were five of them visit. They were standing on the side of her bed, and they were there to see her daughter, but they were also there to see her.
Wonderful.
And she became very consciously aware of these beings that were there, that they were her children.
Hmm.
And, you know, this is all going to come into so much greater understanding in a very, not too long, where people are going to be able to embrace this with great love and compassion and understanding, and realize that, you know, these were by agreement, that there were contracts signed prior to coming onto the planet, and dealing with all of this, again, with more love and compassion instead of anger, shame, you know.
More of a multidimensional awareness as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it really came home tonight when they took this person out on the edge of the universe and connected with all their lifetimes. And, you know, from that perspective, everything looks so different.
Hmm.
Mm. It's like all of a sudden you have a total understanding of how it all works, and the bigger picture is so beautiful
mm-hmm.
and so different. We get so myopic being humans, hard not to. We're bombarded all the time, all the time. Let's see.
What are some other shame stories that you've heard?
I'm just looking here.
Any links between shame and addictions?
No, I haven't received anything about that.
It's probably pretty fast. It's not going to be that easy to track that anyway.
I find myself in tears when I think about the lifting of shame. Mm-hmm. The love that came through was so beautiful, so blissful. Please tell Source I wouldn't mind just blissing out on the couch for a while. I can feel the shift, but it's not easy to describe. I can see it it's in the process of happening, lifting. I'll go on with a lot of beautiful things here. I feel connected, loved, safe, and at peace. It's what I've longed for. Now I keep crying. I'm seeing my home in a different light. Everything is different, and I'm grateful, so grateful. My heart is filled with love for all of those who are with me on this journey. I feel it's an honor to be a part of all this. She goes on some, you know, lovely comments that are just really quite beautiful, but the essence here is what she's experiencing. That's the most important. A lot of gratitude. Another one, what you and the team have been doing with BBS broadcast on shame is powerful. I'm looking forward to Thursday's lifting. Deep hidden issues around how shame has affected me have come up. I'm grateful it's finally coming to the surface to be lifted. I've been struggling along, unaware and feeling helpless, hopeless, and fearful. Safety, trust, self-love, feeling empowered and connected, connection to Source are major issues. Overcoming incredible self-doubt, unworthiness, and helplessness have been difficult. I truly desire to be fully healed and free from all this suffering and limitation. I want to have a fulfilling life and be the fullest, highest, most joyful, loving creature, a creative expression of my spirit and Source, and to be of the greatest service to others by holding this high resonance. Thank you for another incredible journey into memories long forgotten and suppressed. Your ET friends put it best in my first session that these are like time bombs waiting to explode.
Hmm.
Through your processing, their harmful effects are being diffused. Another one, I'm gaining ground here on this shame issue. I recognize how a lifetime of shame issues, especially from parents, filled with shame, prevented me from attracting my full potential with my music career and ended up waiting on people in a buffet instead. I love this one. I'm so determined to rise out of this shame thing. People are always telling me I missed my calling and I should be on stage singing. But I believe shame issues have attracted like situations in my life. Boy, amen.
That's for sure.
And I'm anxiously awaiting a solution and a new way of thinking to attract what is rightfully mine in this life. I, like you, want to grow out of the shame and lack of truth in my heritage, and I always felt not good enough. I love this radio program. Keep going with this. I know I'm here to make a difference. Also, and by your healing program, perhaps I will grow out of this shame thing and feel good about myself again so I can be of service to others. Thank you. I was a child abuse victim, raised Catholic, and definitely went through the shame arena being stripped of my dignity. It is definitely cellular. I know my stepmother and my dad had shame issues. Even though I went through hell over them, was taken away to live in a youth center like you were for protection. I also learned a great deal, and to this day it has helped me have compassion for children that are going through the same issues I did back then. I even lived in a home run by nuns. Now, she had the names of these, and I took it out because I don't want, you know, for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely touched tonight by your sharing of your own life experiences and the process you've gone through to be who you are. Another one. Wow, what a great show on BBS. The beings are so loving, humorous, and straightforward. I loved what they had to say last night about shame. The subject was uncanny as I went to the Sartorian DNA activation via art and music exhibit by a Dutch artist by the name of Janusz. I happened to purchase a set of his Arcturian DNA activation cards, and I closed my eyes and picked a card. It was entitled Guilt. I tried work through the onion layers of my guilt patterns, lots of laughs, so I promptly put it back into the deck, shuffled the cards, and lo and behold, I pulled the guilt card again. Your show on shame was my aha moment. Thank you, very powerful. Veronica's input and questions are amazing, too.
Thank you,
Veronica, always. you know, thank you to all of you for your emails. We sure love them, and it certainly inspires us to keep going.
We're all part of the wave. It's wonderful.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are part of this incredible wave, and we certainly, you know, I haven't given the call-in numbers. Doggone it. For those that want to call in tonight in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. For Canada, 888-810-8322. And international direct is 530-876-3222. Want to talk about what I think is coming up. Not real excited about it, but it looks like it's coming.
But these are all really building blocks or plateaus or layers of the human consciousness flow, the whole thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to say this. Our higher selves, our souls, our guides, our unseen friends, you know, beings of light, the spiritual hierarchy, they are excited to see us come together with a mutual intent to move out of the limitations of human consciousness. And they will support it at every level. Do be sure, all of you, to ask for help. You know, we talked about this a week or two ago, I guess it would be 2 weeks ago, Veronica, about everybody having a team around them as they're walking through this. You know, and I want to say this to you. I don't want you to feel invaded here. But believe me, there are those, you have an official secretary walking around taking notes, reporting back. You know, how are they doing? How are they doing? How are they doing? There is so much excitement about this. And I feel it every day. Every time I go into session, I can feel the excitement. You know, I have other people I work with who are channels and so on saying, my God, there's so many beings coming in to participate. You know, every time I talk to you, that you're, it's just like, you know, you look out there and it's like, oh my God, more and more and more are joining in. And I think that this is an indication of supporting anything that's going to make a shift in the quantum, in the collective. Not only supporting us because of our intent, and certainly they are there to do that, but also seeing that when you get all the powerful people out there listening tonight, and you're all amazing, coming together with a group intent, how powerful that can be on the planet. And the support that's coming in, especially now, we are literally pushing the boundaries of what's possible in every way. In every way, and every one of you, whether you're involved in your great work now, or there are other layers to it, or more, you know, dimension to it, it's coming. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. If you wake up in the morning thinking you could do something, going, wait a minute, I don't know how to do that, don't negate it. Really run with it. You know, I want to tell this story because I think it's important, Veronica.
Okay.
When all this happened to me, I had no idea how to do this. Seriously. First of all, I didn't know anything about the human body. I mean, this is why it's so damn funny.
You mean when you started opening up, is that what you...
When I started, yes. When all this happened to me and I, you know, in 2 weeks moved from California to Las Vegas, knowing that I was going to open a clinic, they had already built the darn thing, okay? I had no idea how to do what I was going to do. I had no idea. They didn't want me on the computer. They didn't want me learning things. They didn't want me to go in and get loaded up with information they wanted to teach me was the best that I could understand. And yet there was this part of me that kept thinking, how are they going to teach me? How am I going to know? What's it going to look like? And I bought the healing table. I leased the house. I moved everything I owned to Las Vegas. My son moved here, and I'm thinking, okay, better get the house finished, paying up the pictures, because I'm going to have to start this, and I don't know what I'm doing. And I've told this story before. This man showed up who was a friend of my daughter's and said, I woke up this morning and was supposed to come see you, and I don't know why, and he had 8 children, so it wasn't like he had a lot of time on his hands. And he showed up, and he wanted to see the healing room. We walked upstairs, and it was an all-glass room, and I showed it to him, was walking down the stairs, and I realized he was behind me, looked up, but he was still standing there, and he said, on the way here, I saw myself on this table.
Oh, my gosh.
I went, oh, okay.
Wonderful.
I walked back upstairs and opened the package of sheets that had never been opened and put them on the table because nothing had been done. He got on the table, I sat down in the chair, and in a moment, I could see the equipment, I could see the beings, I could see everything. And I could see inside his body.
Hmm.
And that's what I want to, if I leave people with anything tonight, it's that everything is possible now. The whole purpose of the lifting of shame, and we're going to move to, I know this is coming, working with the shadow.
Oh, wow.
Integrating and embracing those parts of ourselves that we have relegated to some dark corner because we thought that they were so terrible that we didn't want to own them. Because people, there's power there. Huge pieces of power and gifts. And, when I got this one, I was like, no!
Tell me something, Jackie. What's the difference between the subconscious and the shadow?
I can't give you an answer to that.
It's parts of us that run us, right?
The shadow are the unclaimed parts of ourselves. Even as children, okay? When we did things, right now, there's a difference, shame is part of the shadow.
Okay.
But there's another part of the shadow that we haven't embraced. And I'll give it to you this way. How many people have embraced their bitch? I mean, that's one of those things as a metaphysician, you think, bitch? Are you kidding? Well, that's not spiritual. Yes, it is.
It's a part of the picture.
It is a part of it. I mean, if you think of the goddess Sekhmet, she was not known as this sweetie pie. She
right.
was the goddess of pestilence, and war.
And I heard any healthy psyche, a healthy feminine part of the psyche includes a good, strong bitch component.
There you go.
Yeah.
And owning it instead of going into shame over it.
Hmm.
Knowing when and how to use it. Not destroying people with it. That's not the goal. But embracing it. I went to a Debbie Ford workshop on the shadow, and I've told this story before. And the first evening, some woman jumped up, grabbed the microphone, and said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a bitch." And I blanched. And I thought, I don't belong here.
Because I wouldn't say that, right?
It was just too in my face.
Wow.
And, out of that, it was a fascinating time. Hardest thing I ever did. The most difficult thing I ever did. That 3 days. But, I came to own my competitor. I came to own all of these pieces of myself. And when I started going into them and realizing I had huge pieces of power sitting there. Enormous. And also realized where I had lost my gifts.
Where you had what?
Lost my gifts, where I shut down. And many of you listening tonight came in with incredible gifts and shut down at some time.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica, I'm sure you have stories of this as well, don't you?
Well, it's sort of like being ashamed of, for example, the bitch. Then you close down a whole part of your personality, and it's relegated to the shadow. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And
then it eclipses your gifts in a way.
Well, first of all, you've got a big chunk of power there.
Right.
That you can't access. You absolutely can't access because you, again, relegated to the shadow, and the shadow's in the corner, huddled in the corner. That part you don't want to integrate in.
And then it trips you up quite often, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So maybe as we work with the shadow, Jackie, what'll happen, it would be like a slingshot. That stuff we've held back for so long, now it suddenly just goes shooting forward, and again, we get to fly, right?
Yes. You know, as spiritual people, there is a part, I was talking to someone tonight, this was a very interesting conversation, and she was doing some really wonderful work with someone, and because she found herself actually getting something out of it, feeling really good, and so she felt guilty about it. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. Of course you're supposed to feel that way. And it was interesting to me, this was such a benevolent being, so loving, who actually came in with this whole sensing of she was only here to give, not to receive.
Interesting.
And that, you know, feeling good about something or benefiting, now she was okay with exchange of energy and money and so on, but you know, the benevolent side of her, you know, being altruistic, and boy, that word will trip you up all over the place.
That's for sure.
You know, altruistic can become martyr in about 30 seconds.
The sacrifice, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being altruistic is one thing. As long as you don't go to self-sacrifice.
Well, it's interesting. When you say altruistic, I think, okay, that's without competition, without bitch, without the various things that you've mentioned are in the arsenal of the human shadow.
Well, not really. You could be altruistic. It could be all those things. I've met people that are raving bitch. They're some of the most altruistic people I know.
Oh, really? I would have thought it would be a kind of a shield of that.
No. No. But it doesn't mean that they don't have a loving side. But they have such strong boundaries. I mean, there are, you know, some of these people, there's actually a very, very famous shaman and healer whose name I won't use tonight. And someone was talking to me about this person and how they yelled at her husband during a workshop. And he ended up staying and studying with her for another week.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of, you know, turned out to be one of her favorite people because she saw all of these wonderful qualities in him. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. I have to really process this. Okay, he was really a great potential, and she was yelling at him. Okay, she owns a bitch.
Good.
Now, may that be, you know, is that a little bit too far? Am I going to yell at people, you know, in a workshop? No. That's not my approach. You know, if I say that I'm going to own my bitch, if someone comes forward and I'll give a perfect case in point. Someone wrote and said, well, you know, if these beings are so kind and loving, why do I have to pay for a set? Why do I have to pay so much? And I wrote back, and I was very firm. I was loving, but I was very firm. You know, there's the, if you want to call it the bitch, which said, look, this is my life's work. Okay, I left a career, all right? And these energies come through me, and, you know, it's taken 3 years of very hard work to be where I am today. And, you know, it cost me to do the radio shows and to do the newsletters and all the announcements and all that. You know, this is, you know, something that I do for a living. Why would I not charge what any other healer would charge? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does, although I'm just thinking that quite often the question is whether healers should charge at all.
Well, and that only comes from someone who's challenged with their own prosperity consciousness. Because ultimately, okay, everything is an exchange of energy.
Right.
Everything. And if people are hung up on an exchange of energy, then they're not going to receive. I have learned very, very boy, have I learned doing sessions. I don't care who it is except for my children. I charge. And I do it not because I'm greedy or nasty or anything else, but because it keeps me clean.
Right.
And it's an exchange of energy. Okay? There's no deviation. There's no opportunity for me to go into victim or martyr or feel that I'm overgiving or any of those things. You don't want anybody bringing that energy to an experience.
No.
You want to come clean and you want them to come clean. You want to show up totally. I don't have the luxury of having somebody else handle all the money, but I do it all. And that's okay, too. I'm very clean with it. It's business. But during your session, you're the focus, period.
Right.
Now, do I help other people outside of this work? Absolutely. You know, I have stacks and stacks of people that, you know, I've helped in hospitals and children and all kinds of things. I don't advertise that. That's not anybody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has a family member that's in trouble, I send them immediately. You know, that goes without saying. But I don't do it from a sense of self-sacrificing. I do it out of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of what I do. But I don't. It doesn't go into a place where it doesn't feel comfortable. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you get excited about your work?
Oh, God, yes. I get so excited the first time somebody has a session, I can hardly see straight. Because I know that it's going to change their life. I can feel the orchestration coming in to get them there.
Okay.
And so I get super excited. Absolutely. Do you, Veronica?
I do. I get very, very excited about my work. And, you know, and sessions and the pumping of the energy and seeing our potential and watching people move through or, you know, helping them move through. I get really thrilled. You had mentioned somebody who was questioning because she felt so good after a session. Isn't that what you said earlier? Somebody who was questioning her feeling so good after working with someone.
I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, I feel like that's the greatest gift of the work at times, is just that feeling of wonder that keeps transforming me in the sessions. I love that.
We are all so blessed.
We are, yeah.
Okay, we are all so blessed, and we're certainly blessed to have had all of you tuned in tonight. I can tell you that, and I know Veronica feels the same way, we have such great love and appreciation for all of you. And we thank you for your commitment to be here. You know, whether you're listening to these shows in the archives or you're listening live, either way, the energies are the same. The energies are coming into your home, and certainly they're coming from Veronica's heart and mind. We thank you also for your participation in all of this, which hasn't been easy.
I have loved this series, Jackie, and Jackie's team. I have thought this was just a wonderful series on shame.
Well, it's been a really exciting time. I really feel like, personally, when it was over, I felt like, you know, and this is not a martyr statement, but I thought, man, if I die tomorrow, this was something that needed to be created. It'll go on whether I'm here or not.
And it's still moving through us. This is very thrilling.
It is moving through everybody, and anyone that you send to the archives to, you know, we don't get money for the cost of the archives, but we want you all to know that this is for people. It's an opportunity for people to deal with something that, you know, is not comfortable, and certainly I always recommend Lazarus, the Shame Tapes. There's a series of four of them, Shame and Infancy, Adolescent Shame, Psychic Contracts of Pain, and Adult Shame. And, you know, again, you know, Veronica, I know you're like me. I'm going to speak for you here.
Okay.
Our philosophy is, we don't care how you get healed, just get healed.
Well, and we're all in it together. Everything that we do affects everyone else, so let's all go. It's great.
Absolutely.
Heaven on earth. We're going to have it.
Yes, exactly.
Or multidimensional something.
And what's exciting for all of you, and I know we're going to run just a few minutes over here, is to know that you're participating, not only for yourself, but for all of consciousness. And that's got to make you feel wonderful. You know, if things get a little bleak for a half an hour, remember that. remember that you were courageous enough to walk through and walk into some of this stuff that's really been uncomfortable. And I know some of you have had discomfort. I've actually had people in emergency rooms, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not laughing at them. One of my darling friends ended up in an emergency room, and they couldn't find anything wrong with her. And I happened to mention, I said, oh, well, it's this. And she's like, oh, crap.
Well, you know, we spoke about this briefly, but many times transformation of energies in our body, like this kind of thing, can really give us a huge syndrome of physical difficulty that usually can't be analyzed by the medics.
Absolutely.
And I find that it's true with many healers or many people who are transformers. You can't figure out what's wrong with us periodically.
Exactly. And so, you know, I know it can bring up fear for people, but I can tell you that, you know, this too shall pass.
And this whole reality that we're in keeps passing like that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Veronica, I love you. You know that.
Well, I just love you, too. This has been really fun tonight. It's been very illuminating for me. Thank you.
Well, and for me as well. And I always, always love being with all of you. And I say this always, you are a part of me. I am a part of you. Veronica, same thing with you.
Love yes, you and so I well. Love the emails that come in from these shows as well.
They're wonderful. So thank you. Keep them coming. And good night, everyone. Our unconditional love to all of you, and we will see you or hear you. Yes. Be talking with you next week.
Many blessings.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.